Welcome to the Be More podcast, where we inspire you to be a little bit more of every role within the Salesforce ecosystem and beyond. For today's session, we are headed a little bit off the conventional track here to spread the word about some roles within the ecosystem which aren't as well known. And we are talking today, Be More CRM Director. For today's session, I am joined by Eric. So Eric, over to you to introduce yourself for us, please.
Yeah, Tom, thanks for having me on your podcast here. So for those that don't know me, through working with Tom, Tom is one of the big collaborators through with FlowFest. But on my day job, I'm the VP of Revenue Operations over at Lens Financial. And recently started on this role. Before this, I was a senior CRM director at an organization called First Advantage. So a lot of what I've gotten involved with was basically managing an entire org for 1,200 users globally, building a whole team of Salesforce admins, upskilling them, training them, and overall kind of helping drive the roadmap. We'll talk a lot about that. But equally, funny enough, these are my two ventures on the client side. Besides a very early stint as a Salesforce administrator, the vast majority of my background actually is on the consulting side. So I have run my own consulting practice. I've had several consultants with me in my team at the time. I've done some independent consulting as well. So I've been kind of like, I've dabbled around the ecosystem quite a bit. So it's been really interesting over the past, 14 years? Ouch. It's like, I haven't calculated that in a while. But in any case, yeah, it's been an exciting journey.
Okay. Well, thanks again for your time today. And I'm looking forward to getting stuck in, because as we've kind of mentioned already a little bit off camera, but there are roles within the ecosystem that are well known, like architect and admin and consultant. And this is definitely one of the roles where there is a path towards this role. And ultimately, it is something that's important. And there is opportunities for people to perhaps kind of develop or work towards this type of role if one of the more well-known or maybe well-publicized tracks isn't really their jam. So looking forward to kind of getting stuck in. And maybe we can start by, perhaps in your own words, describing what the role means. What mm-hmm. is your typical day-to-day or areas of responsibilities? Mm-hmm.
So CRM director is an interesting one, at least something that I realized very early on that I had zero interest in becoming a developer. I have tons of respect for people who are developers, right? But I realized that as much as I love the ecosystem, as much as I love the declarative side of Salesforce, I knew that it just wasn't for me. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I had quite a bit of ambition to be able to grow and be able to do more, right? To be more. Yeah. And one of the paths that I started seeing, especially as I jumped into the client side, was the role of CRM director. And there is a lot that you need to know. I like to equate the CRM director as a base foundation, as a solution architect. For those that are aware, like a lot of people look at the solution architect as the bridge between business and the technical side. Very different than the technical architect. And a lot of folks don't know the difference often, or they get mixed up. But the solution architect really is that bridge. What gets layered on top from a solution architect skill set is that you're likely having to deal with a little bit of politics. You're having to deal with a little bit of working with businesses, getting buy-in. You're kind of like the leading force when it comes to selling the purpose of the CRM, the benefits that it can bring, helping get people engaged, getting feedback. You're kind of that leading force, not only for your team and helping build up your team, but also to demonstrating the value that the CRM can provide within the organization and getting all of the other departments on board with Salesforce.
In terms of the role itself, interacting with other roles, you manage a team of people potentially, right? How does that work, and what type of other roles or other people do you work with in your kind of day to day?
Yeah. So we like to talk about the customer 360, right? In the world of Salesforce, everything is customer 360. And if you're going to have a 360 degree view within your CRM, the key piece that you got to keep in mind is that you're going to be talking everything from the beginning, right? You're going to own the customer journey in a sense, from talking to the marketing folks and how the leads are coming in, to talking to sales and or the inside sales and the BDRs with how the leads are getting qualified, to sales and the opportunity tracking, and the opportunities are done. You're talking to customer success, customer service departments. Mm-hmm. I mean, literally everything and everyone can be involved. So within an organization, as it scales, you often see yourself getting interacting with all of these departments. Anything that's customer facing, anything that belongs part of the customer journey, very often you'll be involved. And then in some situations, depending on the company or the type of organization, you may even be involved with product. If you're talking about a tech company that has a software platform, then integrating usage of your own platform and your own service into Salesforce, so you can see customers that are adopting well your products and services and whatnot. And so you also open up the door to be able to work with product teams and equally finance teams if you're tying into any ERPs or anything of that sense. So it's a really very crucial role that gets exposure across the entire organization.
In terms of kind of understanding, I guess, potentially something like an intake process, or when somebody requests something and they want an enhancement to the system, does that typically come through your type of role, or would that come through somebody else and kind of be approved by you? Like, how does that work?
Ideally or realistically?
Maybe a bit of both. Yeah.
So, I mean, usually you want to put channels in place, especially mm-hmm. as you're scaling up. Again, all of this is dependent on team sizes. But you want to make sure you have an open feedback and an open door policy. At least that's my strategy for yep. folks to be able to come and make recommendations. But at the same time, you want to have a process. So some examples, you want to make sure that people can come in and log a ticket or something of that nature to be able to put a request in. Especially if they're working with basic requests, you want to make sure that they have a venue. So you catalog and you document that, right? Similar to how Salesforce does it. Salesforce themselves is a great area of reference because they have the ideas that you can upvote ideas. You can do all of these things. You don't have to go as wild as they have, but something yeah. simple where you can basically track, right? And say, hey, here's everything that got recommended. What do we want to focus on? And there are some tidbits that I don't want to go too long into, but if we have time, mm-hmm. I'm happy to share. But at the same time, like, there will often be times that people will just come directly to you and be like, oh, do you know it would be a great idea? You know, so I want to make sure that I'm my style is to have an open door. Like, if someone reaches out, I always want to be there and kind of listen in and be able to take it down. But I also want to remind them throughout that time that, hey, make sure to log this great idea over here so we can try to figure out what we want to do, try to put some sort of an estimate of what it would look like, and try to be realistic. Sometimes they have great ideas that are nowhere near the roadmap that you have. So you may be, look, this is a good idea, but, you know, this may take a while before we can put into action. And if you want to do it sooner, right, because it's crucial to your department, hey, help your higher-ups, because I drive roadmap with a lot of the senior figures. So if you go to your senior figure and say, look, push for this, right? We can try to reprioritize a couple of things around. So yeah, it's definitely a bit of both. But make sure that you have a way to document that they can submit their tickets in it, so that way it doesn't become everyone comes to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's solid advice, because as great as something like Slack is, it's probably not the right mechanism for those type of requests, right? It needs to be logged. And then eventually Happy Path kind of estimated, prioritized, and then makes its way into a development cycle of some sort. So mm-hmm. you touched on it a little bit already, but I just wanted to explore the need to, I guess, kind of own and maintain a roadmap of what you're hoping to achieve, because again, this is something that overlaps with like the architect skill set too. Is that something within your responsibilities? Do you directly own or do you influence that?
Yeah. So ultimately, I think a good CRM director role, you have to take ownership of having the final say. Mm-hmm. And you can't be ashamed or embarrassed to say, no, I'm not going to work on this. If someone comes to you with, you know, those ultimate requests. So ultimately, you own it. But a lot of it is driven by feedback of others and helping prioritize, right? Mm-hmm. What you want to work on, what's going to drive the most value. I love, I forgot what it's called, but like there's the two-dimensional chart of, you know, impact versus effort.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like, I mean, like if you have something that's extremely high impact and low effort, like those are the things you want to jump in and try to knock out as much as you can. Right. Because those would be good. And then equally, and I wish I was able to keep the presentation that I put together. We had a deck at my last company and I may recreate it because I think there's a lot of good tidbits there. One of the crucial things that I do as a CRM director, and take these percentages to your own liking, but I dedicated to my team, I said, hey, 50% of our time is dedicated to roadmap items. And right. 50% is dedicated to putting out fires. It's like, yeah. But drawing a line in the sand and saying, no, like, look, when we're planning out our 2-week sprints, here's how many hours we have. So if it's 2 weeks, you have 80 hours between an individual. That individual has 40 hours in that week to work on roadmap type items. Right. We know that they're going to be put out fires, and hopefully as you evolve as a Salesforce team, as a Salesforce department, then you can focus more time in roadmap items and less time in putting out fires.
Yeah.
But the 50-50 was a great starting rule to be able to kind of say, all right, here's our line in the sand. We're not working anymore on putting out fires, because otherwise it's like everyone's just coming with you with a request that day and you get in the rhythm of saying yes. And then suddenly you're not working in big picture items. So that was one of the key things also that we put in, and we had the slide and we even calculated down to the number of hours to say, hey, here's how many hours we have as a team in a week to be able to dedicate to this. And if we can't make ends meet like this, like if we can't, you know, put out all the fire, so to say, and still work on these things, then here's my business case to go to my superiors and fight for my team to say, we need more resources. We can barely keep the lights on, right? And mm-hmm. and we can't move forward on a roadmap without this. So,
yeah, I think that's great. And I was just kind of thinking to myself a little bit there, but do you think one feeds the other? Like, for example, the firefighting might highlight things that come up often, which you would then want to put on your longer term roadmap to have a better solution or kind of a long term fix for, right? Do you think that happens?
I think it does. And actually, I'll even take one step further on it. Again, the base of the CRM director is a solution architect. You're the bridge between the solution and the technical. So if you, for example, have these fires that are happening, perhaps not even as frequently, but if you see something that's happening that people are complaining about and you can connect the dots, right, to something that's in your roadmap that's within reach, right, you say, hey, here's a great thing that we can avoid by slightly changing the requirements on this roadmap item. Like if we add this extra item or two, right, we're still working on that roadmap item and now we're just beefing it up a little bit more, yeah. Right? So that way it handles these issues. So it's like you're an air traffic controller. You have to know where all the planes are at all the times, where all the moving pieces are. So a technical architect is your right-hand person from a technical standpoint, but it is to be a good CRM director, you have to have a knowledge of what moving pieces are moving what in the CRM to be able to filter these requests, these business requirements, and be able to kind of really deliver amazing solutions, right? And keep pushing, right, your roadmap forward.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's great advice there. And appreciate we're kind of getting a little bit hung up on roadmaps, but I'm I'm definitely like curious about this like particular aspect of it, like as a solution architect myself. But how do you have any advice or tips out there for how to ensure that technical debt doesn't get deprioritized for other items? Because traditionally, it's probably going back to the effort and value thing, high effort, low value, right?
Yes. Yes. So I think you have to do certain things. Everyone finds their own ways. One of the things that we did, I think I'm not going to get too much trouble sharing some of this. I'm just going to say at a past company, I'm not going to say which one.
Yeah.
There was a consulting firm that came and did a, you know, significant implementation. And they, when they rolled it out, like I'm talking about, we were getting 4 or 5 flow error messages a minute. A minute.
Wow. Yeah.
Like it rendered our inboxes useless. It actually locked out one of our team members just because of the quantity of messages coming in. It was pretty bad, and they kind of just bailed. They really didn't put in that much effort into trying to fix any of that. So it kind of became incumbent upon us to do something about it. And that is one great definition of tech debt right there, right? Because nobody wants to touch it, and if users are somehow getting away with it and finding their way around the system, then it's no longer a priority. But our inboxes were literally useless because we were just getting hammered with these flow error emails. One of the things that we did, and it kind of morphed into this, was every Friday I had a session with my team called Flow Fridays. So the flow is becoming a big piece, right, declaratively, and I wanted to upskill my team and make sure that we had time dedicated, right, to be able to upskill folks. Yeah. And what we decided to do is that we would take these Flow Friday sessions, and we would take these flow errors, and we would dedicate the Flow Friday sessions to troubleshooting the flow errors, being able to kind of work in them in Sandbox, find a fix, change them around, and then deploy them. So sometimes it took 2 or 3 flow Friday sessions to be able to tackle one flow error, depending on the intricacy, the debugging, the QA, and all of these things. But we took an opportunity to be able to not only upskill folks and teach them good troubleshooting skills, good flow functionality, all of these things, but we also were able to do so while handling technical debt. So I think one of the crucial things to your point when it comes to technical debt and roadmap and everything else is that as a CRM director, you have to make time. It's like sometimes people can get behind like, oh, but they throw all these things on me and all these requirements, all these things. It's within your power to make time and set time aside and say, look, block the calendar. Flow Fridays were Fridays between 9:30 and 10:30. And that was on the calendar. Nobody's going to block me and tell me to go do something else. We already have this. Like, so sorry. I'm, you know, short of a fire, right? Like a legit fire, like, you know, the whole system is down. Then we were dedicated every Friday at 9:30 to be knocking out these tech debt items and going from there. So you just got to get a little creative with it is my say.
Okay. And I'm curious now, how much of those problems turned out to be technical debt versus user error? Because there's
a large majority of them. I think user error, it's funny because I am a big fan. Like therapy to me is going into the Y admin string channel and you know, like there's several different places. And I know that user error is a common thing that everyone likes to point out to. The only thing I'll say is that behind most user error claims, I think there's bad UX or just things that could be done better. So from like in my scenario, to give you an exact answer, I think most of the times it was actually like a tech debt issue. I think it was a genuine tech debt issue. You know, like there were a couple of errors that were like screen flow related, but and folks picking things that they shouldn't have been picking.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we gave them the option to pick the things they shouldn't have been picking. So it's like, you know, so I try to give as much benefit of the doubt as possible to make sure that we're not generalizing or just writing something off just because we're like, oh yeah, they just don't know how to use this, right?
Yeah, and I think that's important as well because it kind of almost comes down to like the art of design, really, in terms of designing for that really great user experience. And the art of it is trying to understand how the users are going to be able to divert from that structured path. And then understanding if they do divert from the structured path, is the system going to error or are they going to be pushed back onto the path by the system? Do you think that's kind of a good analogy?
I think that's a pretty, I think that's pretty spot on. Yeah. So yeah, it takes a lot for it. Like I personally love being logged in. It's the only reason why I use Edge as a browser is that I'll just be logged in as a separate user. And as I'm making changes and staging, like I'll be logged in as a separate user to make sure that I'm like, hey, does this make sense? Like, does it look good now? Like, can they see all the changes? Can they, like, does the navigation look right? So, yeah. I think that's pretty spot on.
And do you get into much of that in your role, do you think?
You'd be surprised. I think that that can... I still like to think that normally you shouldn't, but yeah. Maybe somewhere between, I still have the passion for it. So sometimes I just can't help myself.
Yeah.
And in both my recent roles, my end user roles, when I first joined First Advantage, it was myself and one de facto admin. And by the time I left First Advantage, we were a team of seven. So there was a lot of upskilling that I had to do. So a lot of times, like more complex requirements fell on me to be able to deliver. So I still had to do quite a bit of work. I left there super proud of the fact that like folks were starting to build their own flows. Like I would probably even call like intermediate level flows. Mm-hmm. And if they weren't spot on, they were very close. And I was super happy about that. Like another year at First Advantage, I probably wouldn't have been doing nearly as many flows, I would imagine, by the pace that these folks were learning. And at the same time, now here at Lens, we're starting brand new. So one of the key missions that we have is to bring Salesforce in. So I'm right. Kind of starting scratch org and we're building the team as we go. So for now, yeah, I tend to roll my sleeves, but I think an established organization, right, with an established team and everything, I think that the CRM director might not have so much, actual config work to do.
Yeah, and I can relate to that. Like as an architect, I still like to get stuck in and try things out. And, you know, there's a new shiny thing in Flow. Of course, I have to build it and I have to build it now, you know. So I totally kind of get that almost struggle or challenge sometimes. So I think that's good. And also, like, you do feel after a while, like kind of working with people and instilling those best practices in them, like a proud parent when they are doing it for themselves. Do you think that again? Does that make sense to you? Does that resonate?
Yeah, I think it does. You know, and I think for what it's worth, you a CRM director role, there's more leadership to it, but you can't get the nerdiness and the geekiness of wanting to play. I think that's a crucial, you know, it might not be part of the job description anymore, yeah. but it's got to be a job requirement. Like if you can't get excited about technology and what people are doing and all of these things, then, you know, that's a key driver to stay up to date on all of the latest functionalities, the latest and greatest. I mean, that's what guides you into how that can potentially line up to the roadmap of things and solutions that you're trying to put together for the organization, what to guide your team members to start focusing on and building their skill sets on, right? So it adds a ton of value. It absolutely, I think, is a crucial pillar of being a good CRM director.
Kind of picking up the pace a little bit, but if you're thinking now in the shoes of somebody who's looking to perhaps progress into this type of role, what kind of top tips, advice would you give them?
I think there's a couple of skill sets that are outside of the realm of Salesforce that you have to be aware of. The first thing is that, again, there's a lot of, I can't find of a better word, but I think it hits the nail on the head, is politics. yeah. There is a degree of politics. I'm not going to hide behind it. And so effectively, what does that mean? That means knowing how to put yourself in other people's shoes. If I'm talking to sales, what does a salesperson care about? what is important to a salesperson, being able to look at it and not just build a fancy functionality, but build a functionality that helps make their lives easier, more effective, more powerful, be able to communicate with different departments and being able to say, hey, you know, like, help me get you to your goals. Help me understand what your goals are. And then being able to say, all right, here's how we can leverage technology to get you there, right? Equally, making business cases to be able to say, hey, this is why we need this investment. This is what we're going to get if we make this investment, right? Like, it's very cost, you know, we're a cost department. So it's like, if we're going to be able to spend this much money, this is going to help increase productivity. The one example I usually try to go always is, hey, if we can stop X number of opportunities from falling through the cracks by building something else or having this extra functionality, right? Like, if an average deal size is X, right? X times number of opportunities that we catch and that haven't fallen through the cracks, here's your ROI. Like, let's helping gain folks, because again, you're working with different business departments. You have to speak their language and you have to make a good case. So it transcends beyond just being a good solution architect. And that's having that ability, put yourself in their shoes, talk their talk. And for example, like budgeting, putting budgets together and having all of these things. These are skill sets that are usually very helpful. And you can get that if you're within an organization, you can get that by either having one-on-one meetings with your direct report or even doing what are skip levels. At least in the US, they call it skip levels, where you have one-on-one meetings with your boss's boss every other week or so.
Right.
To kind of understand what are they getting around with, what are they getting involved with, and kind of get a view of what a day in their life is like. So you can start getting prepared and understand how they deal with things and handle things and so on.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's great. And I certainly learned some American terms there as well, you know, before. So that's awesome. I'm glad you defined that. So thinking about your own journey now, if you were to do this again, appreciate hindsight is a wonderful, wonderful thing, but would you change anything? Would you perhaps do something earlier or sooner or in a different way?
I try to always find the good and the positive in everything that I've gone through. And I think that, you know, every job or every role was a fantastic chapter in my life. Like I could sit here and be incredibly negative and find all the stressful things about different positions and different roles. But I'm incredibly grateful. And I'm fortunate that I got in Salesforce, I think, at a much earlier time, before Salesforce became the powerhouse that it is. So definitely the barrier to entry wasn't as big back then. Weekly didn't have as many resources back then, so it was a whole different thing. But I can't think of anything I would have done differently. There were definitely stressful times and painful times, and I look at them and I'm a better person today because of them. So, you know, I take it all and call it a good experience.
Hmm. Well, I think that's a really nice, well-rounded way of putting it. Are there particular skills or attributes you think it takes to kind of be a CRM director? We've obviously touched on that kind of relationship management side of it, a little bit of kind of technical side of it as well, potentially, and definitely kind of managing the internal politics and kind of goings on within an organization. Do you think there's any other kind of skills that it takes to be CRM director?
I think curiosity is one of the big ones that we briefly touched about that, you know, like in the, you have to have that inner geekness of wanting to research and staying on top of things.
Yeah.
Is it a job requirement that you'll find in job descriptions? No. But it does make a significant difference because you're going to be leading the CRM and potentially all the associated business systems, any third-party vendors, third-party apps, and everything. So it's really for folks that like taking initiative, that find pleasure and joy in being able to learn what's the latest and greatest, help, you know, be a promoter, like a leader of sorts, right? And trying to help the company solve its problems with the expertise and the tools that are available to you, right? To know what tools are around you and say, hey, here are some great ways that we can meet some of the goals that we have for this year, for this quarter, whatever have you.
appreciate, kind of already predict what how you're going to answer this, but I think it's still good to work through. If there's one thing you want to change or make people more aware of this role, is there anything like a common misconception or anything like that that you'd like to clarify for the audience?
And I feel like there's many, but they're not coming to me, right? They're not occurring to me right now. I think this job, like the CRM director, can often mean a lot of things. I think you have to understand the company size that is hiring for a CRM director. Like a much larger, more established company organization will have more of an organization where they'll have a team to support, right? You won't be jumping in every day to be working on flows and things like that, that will make it to production. So be mindful of the ecosystem that you're applying towards, because your job may differ, right? A CRM director's role may really differ depending where you're landing. So I have no problem coming to a smaller organization from being at a larger one, because I love being able to roll up my sleeves and be able to get things done and getting building things out, and at the same time working with leadership to do all great things. So yeah, just be mindful, right, into where you're going, and whether it's a good cultural fit for you.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's good. Because I think the cultural fit thing is really important, because ultimately you want to be somewhere where you're kind of settled and also where you're kind of appropriately listened to and kind of respected and trusted as well. Kind of all those really great things that give you those nice warm feelings inside when something goes well or somebody trusts you to fix something, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so we are now going to have to wrap up the session for today. But before we do go, what's a way for people to connect with you? And is there any particular content or events that you wanted to shout out for the audience?
Yeah, so LinkedIn is the easiest way to find me. Everyone that's reached out, sometimes I can't meet, but I try to commit to at least point you in the right direction if I don't have an answer for you. Keep an eye out for Flowfest events. We're trying to sort out the calendar for Flowfest this year. And then if anyone's going to be at Snowforce, I don't know when this is going to be published, but if it's still February, I'll be at Snowforce this year, and probably a lot of other Dreamy events. I absolutely love the Dreamy events. So hopefully I can make it to a couple this year.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. How about Dreamforce TDX?
Won't make it TDX, but we'll see about Dreamforce this year. It's been a couple of years since I've been, and it'd be great to get to go again.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, well, thanks again for your time. And when this does go out, hopefully we can inspire some more people to take this career track and perhaps be more CRM director. So thanks again. Thanks for tuning in to Be More with Tom Bassett. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and leave any feedback in the comments